joy to come together and worship the Lord Jesus Christ and unite our hearts together in song and to praise Him, to encourage one another and to be encouraged even by the songs. Appreciate the ministry of music. One way we worship the Lord is by opening up His Word and by understanding more about Christ and what He has done for us, what He continues to do for us. I was asked a question just recently about the difference between different so-called faiths, different religions, different churches. And the person asked me, you know, what's the difference, say, between church like Trinity that we have here and a Roman Catholic church that was part of that individual's background? And don't want to be specific at all, because I certainly would never embarrass anyone. And I said, well, there's so many differences, but maybe one of the key ones would just be how you view the Scriptures. See, we come together and we take the Scriptures as being authoritative over us. We don't say, you listen to Trinity, you don't listen to a guy like me, and I'll tell you what the Bible says because I'm the authority or the church is the authority. That's not the case. We have Scriptures. God has given us a Word. We're a non-denominational church, a Bible church. We look to the Scriptures and we say, this is true. And if we're not following the Bible, then by God's grace we'll change. And so part of the reason we put such an emphasis on the Bible is because of that presupposition, that we're just not looking at a book filled with stories. We're just not looking at a book that's helpful, and then also whatever the church says is helpful too. We're saying it's like this. Here's God's Word, and He has spoken. He has revealed truth to us. And here we are coming together to understand what He has said, and then to try by His grace to live it out in a way that would please Him. So we're going through this very incredible group of stories about Jesus in the Gospel according to Mark. And we've read about just wonderful things, right? Even in recent times, here's Jesus and His disciples on the Sea of Galilee. And they're going from the west over to the east side, and a huge storm comes out. And they think they're going to die, and they cry out, Lord, don't you care about us? Well, we're going to die. And with just a word, Jesus speaks, and it's calm. Now, that kind of story spreads like wildfire, and people are going to be hearing that, and they're going to have to make a decision. Was that true? Did that really happen? Is Jesus really Lord, even of nature? Well, as you know, they went from the west to the east side of the Sea of Galilee. They got there, and as soon as Jesus is coming out of the boat, here comes the guy we call the Maniac of Gadara, and he knows exactly who Jesus is. And what happens? With just a word, as it were, Jesus casts out thousands of demons from one man. And this guy who was so out of his mind that they tried to chain him, and he would just break the chains. A guy that lived in a graveyard, just bizarre. Clothed in his right mind, everything's fine. Sitting at the feet of Jesus. People would hear that. You can't keep that a secret. And everyone will come to a conclusion. Do I believe that? Is that true? Is Jesus really Lord of demons? You can't keep a story like that secret. You may agree with it. You may believe it. You may not believe it. But everyone's going to come to an opinion on that. Well, we know what the opinion of the people on the east side where the maniac lived was. They all said to Jesus, man, just get out of here. Really, just go. Which is just so incredible to me. You think they would have said, wow, he can do that? I would love to hear more. Talk to him. They didn't. They wanted him gone. So Jesus and the disciples get back in the boat. And they now travel back over to the west side of the Sea of Galilee. And there's a crowd of people that are waiting for him because they're hearing these stories. Now, do all of them believe in Jesus? Definitely not, but two of them do. And one is a synagogue official, and his name is Jairus. He would be a well-respected gentleman, no doubt a good salary, someone that you would look up to as a leader in the community. He has a daughter who's 12 years old, and she is so sick, she's on the verge of death. And he's thinking, you know, I've heard these stories about Jesus. I need to get to Jesus. Because if I could just have Jesus touch my daughter, I know everything will be okay. Well, interestingly enough, that girl, 12 years old, when she was born 12 years earlier, that's right when a woman began to have an issue of blood. She began to hemorrhage. A woman, we don't even know her name. She's a nobody. Here's Jairus, somebody who's well-respected, a big guy. Here's a woman, no one even knows her, but she's been bleeding a very long time. And she doesn't even think, if I could just have Jesus touch me. She thinks, you know what? Man, if I could just sneak up on him and just touch the hem of his garment, I'll be all right. And that's what we're going to see in what we look at this morning. That Jesus Christ is not only Lord of the storm, Lord of nature. Jesus Christ is not only the Lord of demons, the Lord of Satan. Jesus Christ is Lord of illness and Lord of disease and able to heal any sick person he chooses. And I trust as we look at this account in Mark chapter 5, beginning in verse 21 this morning, that the Lord will encourage you yet again to believe in Jesus and to understand who he was, who he is, and what he continues to do. Let's pray. Father, we thank you for this wonderful gospel account that Mark, by your grace and under your sovereignty, has penned for us. Father, we pray that you'd help us yet again to understand better what a great Savior Jesus Christ is, that we would marvel at him all over again. Lord, that we would just not marvel, but that we would understand who Christ is today and how much we need him and how we need to rely on him, how we need to trust in him, and how he's worthy of that trust. And that we not only would be certain to have our faith in Jesus, but that we would be actively sharing that faith with others. Lord, to that end, we ask that you would bless us this morning, that your blessed Spirit that indwells every true believer in this room would illumine our minds to the words you've breathed out, that we would understand your word, that we would submit to your word, that we'd live for your word, that you would be glorified through what takes place. Well, thank you. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Simple message today called Jesus Can Heal the Sick, something that's just been a blessing for me to think upon and meditate on this week. I begin in verse 21. It says in Mark chapter 5, verse 21, when Jesus had crossed over again in the boat to the other side. So remember, he left the maniac of Gadara over on the east side. Now he's going back to the west side. And what does he find, verse 21? A large crowd gathered around him. Luke chapter 8, verse 40 puts it this way. The people welcomed him, for they had all been waiting for him. Again, these stories can't be kept private. They're out there. And the maniac's cured, and the storm is still. And before Jesus even gets within a visual distance of the shore, there's people there, and they want to see him. And what happens? Verse 22. It says, one of the synagogue officials, named Jairus, came up and on seeing him, fell at his feet and implored him earnestly, saying, my little daughter's at the point of death. Please come and lay your hands on her so that she will get well and live. And he went off with him, and a large crowd was following him and pressing on him. And then in verse 25, it says, a woman who had a hemorrhage for 12 years and had endured much at the hands of many physicians and had spent all that she had and was not helped at all, but rather had grown worse after hearing about Jesus, came up in the crowd behind him and touched his cloak. Here we see two people that have incredible struggles. Jairus with his daughter, who's suffering with the great illness, seems like she's going to die, which she does, and we'll actually take a look at this next week, because the way Mark and the other writers record this is the story starts off with Jairus' daughter, then it talks about the woman who was hemorrhaging, and then that story's completed, and then it comes back to what's going on with Jairus. You say, what do we learn from this? Well, we learn, I don't even know if learn's the right word because we know it so well, guys. Life is filled with great struggles. And I'm sure if I asked you to take out a piece of paper or take out your tablet or whatever you write on and just note down what are you struggling with, my guess is for most of us, you wouldn't sit here and say, oh, I don't know. that you might say, I don't know what to put down first. Because life is filled with all kinds of struggles. Sometimes, like with this woman, our struggles are with disease and with illness. Here is a woman that has been hemorrhaging. Guys, not for 12 hours, not for 12 days, not for 12 weeks, not for 12 months. This woman's been hemorrhaging for 12 years. Can you imagine that? How do you live through that? Some of you have had loss of blood, and you know how that can affect you physically, not to mention how it affects you, what do you want to call it, psychologically, mentally, emotionally. And here's a woman whose body must be just an absolute mess, that for 12 years she's been struggling. And that's part of life as sinful people in a sinful world. Some of you have struggled with great diseases, some of you getting cancer more than one time, just going through very difficult, hard situations. That's where that woman was. And she struggled with illness. But you know, it must even be worse than struggling with a hemorrhage, verse 25, for 12 years. But it's to go, as it says in verse 26, to all of these doctors and spend all that she had and was not helped at all, but rather had grown worse. You know, if there's anything worse than struggling with that kind of illness, can you imagine struggling with this kind of disappointment? You know, here I am, I don't know what to do. Well, I guess I'll go to a doctor. And you go to one, and none of them can help. And even if I were the same, maybe it's okay. But this woman's actually worse. So all of the money that she had, that she spent, it didn't profit her anything. That's the kind of life this woman has been struggling with. Endured much at the hands of physicians, spent all that she has, was not helped. You know, for some of us, that's how life is, right? You say, okay, I'm going to exercise, you know. I'm going to take care of myself. I'm going to try to eat, you know, whatever, granola, crunchy stuff for breakfast with fat-free milk, you know. And all those guys are eating whatever, I don't know, Trix, you know, or whatever sugar balls are called with no food value. And you still get sick. And then you go to the doctor, and he says, I think I could help you. And to be frank, sometimes you end up worse than when you went. And life is that way. This woman understood it. She struggled with illness. She struggled with disappointments. You know, I personally think there's a greater struggle than any one of these. And it's in the text, but you got to look to see it. You say, where is it? Guys, this woman struggled with shame. Worse than the illness, worse than the disappointment. Dude, this woman would be a follower of the Old Testament. You know what the Old Testament teaches? If you're a woman with an issue of blood, you are unclean. And if the hemorrhaging continues, you stay unclean. Do you know what that means? You can go back and look this up at another time if it's interesting. It's marked in your study Bibles. Just read Leviticus 15 sometimes. Do you know that if this woman sat on that chair, I would not sit on that chair, because if I sat on that chair, I would be unclean. I would have to go home, take off all of my clothes, wash them, take a bath, and then wait till nighttime before I could become clean again. Because I would dare to even sit in a chair that this woman sat in. Would you want her in your house? No. So you know what happens, guys? When you're having people over for fellowships, you don't ask this woman. This woman doesn't go anywhere. Okay? Can you imagine the shame of a woman who just can't stop bleeding? And no one reaches out to her because you can't touch her. She is ceremonially unclean. Now, we have some newer believers here, and that's an Old Testament thing, okay? And in the Old Testament, there's all these rules on certain things, like you don't touch someone that's dead. You know, you don't touch a dead body. And you don't touch a woman who's bleeding in this way. So that means for what? 12 years. How many hugs do you think she got? That's this woman. You say, sometimes I feel like that. Well, then maybe you can relate to her, okay? I would make the suggestion, guys, that in a sense, this woman is a picture of all of us, apart from Jesus Christ. All of us struggling through life, whether it's physical illness or something else. All of us trusting in things that disappoint us. All of us, if we're honest with ourselves, aware of how often we sin and feeling so ashamed, and even if no one else knows it, deep inside we know it. And people turn to all kinds of different things. I mean, what do people turn to? You know, people turn to alcohol. People turn to drugs just to try to somehow numb the pain. People turn to hobbies and try to get lost. You know, if I could just go out and do my hobby and just not think of life. And maybe that helps just until the hobby's over. Some people turn to religion and they just get all crazy into religion, right? This woman did none of that. Praise God that by His grace, through the power of the Holy Spirit, she realized something. She realized there's only one place I can go. And so what does she do? She goes to Jesus because she heard. Look at verse 27. After hearing about Jesus. See, she heard what's going on with Jesus. She heard that He can still a storm. He can cast out thousands of demons. He can heal the sick. He can do anything. She's a believer. She's saying, I believe. If I can just get to Jesus. I was coming home the other night and I put on talk radio. And I was thinking there might be like a talk radio show on, right? Obviously. And instead it has these very long infomercials. And it was some kind of vitamin or extract or herb or shark something. I forget what it was. And allegedly, if you buy these pills and you take one a day or something, then you know, you're not sick anymore and you feel really, really good, then they have testimonies. And these people would say, you know, I had all these problems. I've been to all these doctors and I started taking this pill and it's just incredible. Now I have this vitamin or this, you know, I'm not making fun. And that's what they say. And I'm sitting there thinking, I wonder if that's true. Do I believe that? And I'll be honest with you, my first thought, call me skeptical, is I don't believe it. You know, just a commercial. Now, my guess is certain people believe it. Some people believe the stories, some people don't. And if you want to take little pills with vitamins and shark stuff, that's fine. I'm not suggesting that's bad. That's the kind of situation people found themselves in. This woman's hearing stories, but she believes them, even as we all must. We must have faith in Jesus. See, she heard of the miracles just like we have. We're opening up our Bible and we're reading about Jesus calming a storm with the Word. Do you believe that? She believed it. When you open up your gospel account and you read of this, are you actually thinking, yes, I believe this. She heard. And when she heard, she believed. Notice what it says in verse 27. After hearing, she hears the stories about Jesus. She came up in the crowd behind him, touched his cloak. Why? Notice verse 28. For she thought, if I just touch his garments, I will get well. No doubt other people would have said, you're crazy. I don't believe it. They would have been skeptical. But this woman in her heart believed. You know what's neat? She not only believed, but she acted on that belief. Notice verse 27, the second half. She came up in the crowd behind him and touched his cloak. You say, almost like she snuck up on him. Yeah, basically she did. You say, why would she sneak up on him? Because Jesus is busy, guys. He's talking to Jairus. Remember the first part? Jairus' daughter is near death. And so notice verse 23. Let's keep the story all together. Jairus says to Jesus, my little daughter's at the point of death. Please come lay your hands on her so she'll get well and live. Verse 24, he went off with him. Could you imagine this woman? She's unclean. She's not supposed to be out with all these people, but she has to get to Jesus. And so she sees him. There he is. Oh, no. He's with somebody important. He'll never have time for me. And he knows who I am, and I can't touch him. I'm unclean. And she thinks, no. I'm going to touch him. I will get to Jesus. And here she is, following him. He's talking to Jairus. They're going to deal with his daughter. And no doubt pushing and shoving and reaching out a hand. Acting on faith. And she touches the hem of his garment. And what happens? Well, she believed in Jesus. She heard the stories. She acted on her faith. And she experienced a miracle. Look at verse 29. Immediately. You know, that's how God does miracles, right? TV preachers, well, in the next couple of weeks, I really have a word from God. Your back pain will be healed. You know, that's how they do it, right? Because they're not doing anything except taking your money. Jesus does the real thing. She touches him, verse 29, immediately, that fast. The flow of her blood was dried up, and she felt in her body that she was healed of an affliction. She was immediately healed. She reached out, she touched him, she's healed. And here comes the part of the story that can be just a little bit challenging, but it's wonderful. Will you look at verse 30 with me? And immediately Jesus, perceiving in himself that the power proceeding from him had gone forth. You might have, I think the King James has virtue, power. Jesus sensing, turned around in the crowd, verse 30, and said, "Who touched my garments?" Now everybody's pushing, everyone's shoving, and look what the disciples say, verse 31. His disciples said to him, "You see the crowd pressing in on you, and you say, 'Who touched me?'" It's as if they're saying, what kind of stupid question is that? I mean, everybody's pressing in on you, and you're asking. They don't understand. But there's a reason, guys, he's asking this question. And may I quickly give you what is not an acceptable answer? He's not asking because he doesn't know. It's not like Jesus is walking and all of a sudden, you know, well, everybody wants a piece of him, right? And all of a sudden, someone touches the hem of his garment, and it's like, whoo, what was that? That's not what's going on here. Jesus knows who she is. Jesus knows what she's doing. And she touches the hem of his garment. And so he stops and asks, "Who touched my garments?" You say, why did he ask? It's okay to ask a question when you know the answer. Okay? You remember in the garden when Adam and Eve ate the fruit? God comes walking, he's in Adam's hiding. What did God say? "Adam, where are you?" It wasn't like, "Oh no, I lost him again." God knows where Adam is, right? It's like sometimes I walk into my daughter's room and I say, "Hey, what's that?" And they say, "Dad, that's a sweatshirt on the floor." Well, I already knew that, okay? I wasn't asking for garment identification. All right? That was my way of making a point. All I'm simply saying is it's legitimate to ask a question even when you know the answer. So Jesus asks the question, "Who touched my garments?" And notice what happens. Verse 32, he looked around to see the woman who had done this. And the woman, fearing, trembling, aware of what had happened to her, came, fell down before him, and told the whole truth. You say, what does that mean? You know what it means, guys? She shared her testimony. That's what Jesus wanted. Jesus wanted people to know who he was. Jesus came to this world as God to go to that cross and suffer and die in my place. And how am I going to know who Jesus is? If you have people like this woman just reaching up and touching the hem of his garment, and then zoom, she's healed, and I don't know anything about it. There was a reason Jesus healed her. And he wanted Jairus to know. Remember Jairus? We'll talk about him next time. Jairus has what? A daughter back home, and she's dying. And we don't know this yet, but she's going to be dead once we get to that part of the story. And yet Jairus is going to hear this woman's testimony, and he's going to have faith. And all of these people around are going to hear this woman give a testimony. And some of them are going to hear that story and say, I believe. And more people will come to put faith in the Lord Jesus Christ. That's what Jesus wanted. And that's exactly what happens. Verse 33, she fell down before him, told him the whole truth. And notice verse 34. And he, that is Jesus, said to her, daughter, your faith has made you well. Go in peace and be healed of your affliction. Please notice verse 34. Don't misunderstand this text. How did she get healed? She touched the hem of his garment and it was like magic. It's not what Jesus said. You know, based on this, guys, maybe I should get some cloth and lay hands on it, and then we'll cut it in little pieces, right? And for $9.95, you can have a prayer cloth. And you can put it under your pillow when you're sick. I've been in hospitals and actually talked to people that believe that. Okay? That's not what happened. Please notice verse 34. What did Jesus say? Daughter, your faith. Your faith. It wasn't a magical cloth. It wasn't some type of special hem. It was the faith. Your faith has made you well. Go in peace and be healed of your affliction. And she was healed. You know what's neat about this story? Is if I touch this woman, I would become unclean. If this woman touched me, I would become unclean. But when she touches Jesus, he never becomes unclean. She gets healed because she was touching Jesus Christ, the Son of God, the one who came into this world to die on a cross for your sin and for my sin. That's who Jesus Christ is. He's not only Lord of nature, able to still a storm. He's not only the Lord of demons, able to cast thousands out of a demoniac. He is Lord of illness. And Jesus Christ is able to cure any disease. He's able to cure your diseases. He's able to cure my diseases. That's part of who Jesus Christ was. Now, immediately, perhaps many, or at least some, are thinking, Greg, I know a lot of sick people that have said a lot of prayers and they were not healed. What do you do with that? Well, again, let's slow down. Number one, Jesus is Lord. And because he's Lord over illness, and Jesus can heal anybody, anytime that he wants. He's able to do that. But let's be careful, guys. Number two, Jesus often healed, but Jesus didn't always heal. Okay? You say, you mean there's accounts in the Bible where people prayed to get healed and God said, no, absolutely. Paul, the Apostle Paul, right? Three times. Lord, there's something wrong with me. I have a thorn in the flesh. Lord, would you heal me? No, Paul. Lord, please, will you heal me? No, Paul. Lord, please, would you heal me? No, Paul. Paul said, okay, three times, I'm good. Right? And your power will be perfected in my weakness, is what the Apostle Paul said. Which means we have to be careful, guys. I would never, in a prayer, demand to be healed. Because for me to say, Lord, I am sick and I'm coming to you right now in the name of Jesus, heal me, I would never do that. Never. Because who am I to pretend to know what is best. I don't know what is best. You, with respect, you don't know what is best. You say, but Greg, I want to be healed. I'm with you. When I'm sick, I want to be healed too, but how do you know that's best? I don't know. You don't know. Jesus knows. You said, so what do we pray when we have illnesses, when we're facing with disease? You know what we do? We pray, Lord, if it would please you, would you heal me? Lord, if you're willing, please heal me. Nevertheless, not my will, but yours be done. Because, Lord, you know more than me. You know better than me. I'm so limited. Maybe healing right now is not a good thing for me. So let's be careful that even though Jesus often healed, we want to remember that Jesus didn't always heal. And can I throw out something again as we deal with this issue of healing? Can I remind all of us that this woman still died? She still died. Guys, how temporary is healing? You know, we have an illness, we have a disease, and we pray, Lord, heal me. And again, if it's God's will, that's great. Be cautious. But even if he does, I still die. Have you thought of that? See, we are thinking frequently of something very temporal. Again, I'm not suggesting it's wrong to pray for healing as long as it's, Lord, nevertheless, not my will, but yours be done. But I want to remind us there's something bigger than healing going on in this story. This is not a story about how Jesus can heal you. This is a story about who Jesus is. Jesus is God. Jesus is Lord. And Jesus, as God, comes into this world. He's going to go to the cross. He's going to die for our sin. But how do we know he's really God? Because he's able to do things like this. There are sick people all around the Sea of Galilee. He's not healing all of them. Have you thought of that? Now he heals this woman when she touches him. Why? So people can say, he's God. And then he's going to go and help Jairus' daughter. And that's good because people are going to say, he's God. Jesus could have just stood on a boat and said, heal. And thousands of people everywhere. He didn't do that. Because one of the main reasons he's healing people is so that healing is associated with him. And that people will say, who is this man? The winds obey him. The sea obeys. The demons obey him. He's even able to heal people, even able to raise the dead. That's Jesus. The gospel never guarantees us temporary healings to continue to live in this sin-cursed world in our sinful bodies. But the gospel promises us, guys, something far more. You can have ultimate eternal healing. You can be forgiven of every sin you've ever committed. You can be changed radically, and you can spend eternity in God's presence, even though you don't deserve there, because this Jesus, who is King of Kings and Lord of Lords, was willing to come into this world, live a perfect life, and go to that cross and die in your place, in my place. That's the gospel. And this story is just one more story that helps us to understand who Jesus really is. In conclusion, just two simple points. Number one, I don't know what you're struggling with this morning. We all struggle and we always will struggle because we are sinful people living in a sinful world. But whatever you're struggling with, the answer is always ultimately just get to Jesus. Because as long as you're in fellowship with Jesus, everything's okay. Doesn't promise you're going to be healed, but everything will be okay. But more than that, secondly, if you've never put your faith in Jesus Christ, If you're still like the people in the crowds and you've heard these stories and you're thinking, man, I don't know if I believe this or not. I don't know if I want to repent of my sin and put my faith in Jesus or not. I'm not sure I'm ready to become one of these Jesus people and become a follower of Christ. You could do that today, right where you're seated, and simply pray, Lord, I have seen yet another story, and I believe. I believe Jesus was God. I believed exactly what the Scriptures say. I believe He went to that cross. He died in my place. I believe that I deserve to go to hell, but Jesus does not, and yet He died for me. I want to put my faith in the resurrected Lord Jesus Christ. I want to be saved. I want to be forgiven. You could pray that right this morning, and you could come to be a Christian and be a follower of the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. That's Jesus, Lord even of disease. Father, we thank You. We thank You for these absolutely incredible gospel stories. We thank You, Father, that You were able to work in this woman's life, that You gave her to believe the story she heard, that You gave her faith in Jesus. You gave her the ability to act on that faith, Lord, even as You've given that to all of us that are Your children. Father, as we were reminded in the life of this woman, life gets very hard at times, and we struggle and we face so many challenges from so many different areas. Lord, I pray for the brothers and sisters, Your children that are listening this morning. Lord, whatever the struggle is, whatever the challenge is, I pray, Lord, that You would just continue to give them the faith to believe in Jesus, to just keep walking with Jesus, by Your grace to stay in fellowship with Jesus, and to know, as long as they're with Jesus, that everything will be just fine. Lord, to that end, would You encourage us all, and we'll thank You for it. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.